Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good afternoon. Happy Tuesday. Hope your day is flying by. Here on News Radio 930 WBEN, we have a lot to get to. James Gardner will join the show at 1:35. He is running for mayor of Buffalo, and we've got a few things to talk about in the city. I promised you yesterday that was going to be one of my topics today, and I came through. And he will talk with us again about some of the crime issues in the city, as well as the break-in issues in the city. How can downtown Buffalo come back? How can you turn around downtown Buffalo? How can you expect businesses to stay downtown if break-ins are regular are happening? Oh my gosh! If break-ins are happening regularly, right? I told you yesterday about a business. They had they experienced their third break-in of the year over the weekend. And they're starting to call it out. How can we be expected to go forward when we continue to have to clean up after the mess of a break-in? And that's just the cleanup of what's left and replace anything that has been taken. So we'll talk to James Gardner about that. But I thought in this first segment, we would focus on some state issues and things going around the state. Also, there is a press conference at 2 o'clock from the Utah Attorney General talking about the charges against the Charlie Kirk assassin. And we will bring that to you live here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And after that, I also want to talk about some things that were said by the vice president yesterday on Charlie Kirk's show. He filled in, and I thought his closing statement was powerful and, again, should be is something that is a reality for some, right? And is a reality that I hope we can move away from. But the vice president, I went back and I listened to the whole show. I thought the vice president did a great job. He brought in some amazing stories. RFK Jr. was on. Caroline Leavitt was on. It was a touching tribute. And I'll listen today. Today's Charlie Kirk show. You've got the Daily Wire guys on doing their tribute to Charlie Kirk. I have to say, before we get to some of the state issues, the Charlie Kirk thing is still really, I mean, it is something that I still feel as angry about as I did on Wednesday when Bowerly broke the news. And it makes me angry. It's scary that there are people out there that want to kill others because of their thoughts, because of their political leanings. It is something that I have not stopped thinking about. I was telling today, I I can't, unfortunately, the video I didn't want to see, but got, I saw on social media because it just popped up on my feed. That and, you know, just again, the fact that we are in a place in America where people, there are some sick people who think the world is better because someone that they didn't agree with politically is dead. And that is a very dark place to be. It's a sad place to be. And again, I don't feel I have to put this disclaimer, but when I talk about people I disagree with, I'm talking about a political disagreement. That's what it is. It's a political disagreement. You have one party that wants to take the country in one direction that I think is the absolute wrong direction. And you have a party, the current party in power in D.C., that's taking the country in a direction that, for the most part, I agree with the direction, right? I don't think anyone can agree with both sides 100%. You'd be just a robot, right? You'd be Jeremy Zellner. You would just be the king of talking points. No one agrees with a party 100%. That'd be impossible. But all the people in the country, and there's just only two parties, you go to the party that you agree with the most. But again, Jeremy Zellner. Yes, I think he's just a mouthpiece for the Democrats. I mean, does he really believe 100% lean with the Democrat Party on every single issue? That seems impossible. But again, we have a political difference. If Jeremy Zellner had a radio show, I'd go on it. For some reason, Jeremy Zellner doesn't want to come on my radio show because of our disagreements. I guess calling out the disagreements, we write you off the list. But again, that's all it is. It's a political disagreement. And like I said, unfortunately, there are people in this country that view it as more, and there are sickos that want you dead because you don't think like them, and that is that's a real problem. And a lot of our politicians continue this rhetoric, as David pointed out in his show today. A lot of these leaders on the left, including the governor, continue this rhetoric and keep on ramping up the temperature, especially when talking about ICE agents. And I think it's very irresponsible. 803-0930, starting 30, by the way, if you want to join the show. So, as I said, state issues this segment. Letitia James was on the Joy Reid podcast, and I never thought in a million years I would play you a clip from the Joy Reid podcast, but here we are. She was talking about her mortgage fraud claim. Now, just listen to some of the things that she says about the Trump administration, number one, and then she starts talking about intent, and I think, again, remember, this is the attorney general for New York State. If there's one thing this woman should understand, it's legal documents. But here's what she says about the mortgage fraud claims against her.
Donald Trump said that he called me all kind of names, and he basically directed the Department of Justice to investigate my affairs. And they're using mortgage fraud as the vehicle upon which they're investigating myself, Adam Schiff, Ms. Cook, Lisa Cook, and countless others. And it is most of it, as you know, is frivolous. It's baseless, because in order to prove mortgage fraud, one has to prove intent. And that's a very high standard, a very high bar to meet.
So is Letitia James' claim that she, the Attorney General of New York State, did not know what she was doing was wrong? That she is so incompetent that she doesn't know how to fill out a legal document? Is anyone buying that? She thought it was okay to say her father is her husband? I mean, is anyone buying this claim? And then she also says in that clip about the president initiative against her. Ms. James, with all due respect, you ran a campaign on going after Donald Trump. You spent the resources of this state to get Donald Trump convicted on anything. You wasted our tax dollars and our resources to go after Donald Trump, and you verbally said that's what you were going to do. So I'm sorry if you don't know how to fill out a legal document. I'm sorry that you thought you could be the attorney general and have your main residence in Norfolk, Virginia. But what did you, I mean, seriously, any elected official out there who was part of going after President Trump, what did you think was going to happen if he won? You didn't think he was going to look in to see if the people who tried to put him in jail could get convicted on anything? And again, you broke the law. You broke the law. That's what it comes down to. And if it was fair to go after Donald Trump, then it's fair to go after these elected officials in the courtroom. And again, maybe it's a lesson. Maybe it's a lesson. If you're going to make your whole existence as the Attorney General, if you're going to base that on going after, at the time, the former president of the United States, well, then you better not be breaking any laws. And this is a big one. So I thought that was just a, again, I mean, does she expect to run for a term? Now, she's in New York State, right? This is New York State. So she'll win regardless. I hope that wasn't a fact, but until I'm proven wrong, that unfortunately is a fact. I mean, in Erie County, the August before the election, we had the county executive bus in illegals from New York and lie about their being vetted, and the police report, and he still won in November. So again, I wish I was wrong. But Democrats usually can get away with almost anything in this state and still be reelected. However, if I was running against Letitia James, I would take this clip and put it in every campaign ad that I could, that the attorney general claims she doesn't know how to fill out a legal document. I would also take this into the courtroom because she said that she didn't say there was no intent. Again, if you listen to what she says in this clip, she never says there wasn't intent. She said that Trump will have to prove intent. Interesting way to put it. So I thought that was an interesting clip I wanted to bring to you, the Attorney General on the Joy Reid show. Yes, Joy Reid doing a podcast after being let go from MSNBC. And then you have Kathy Hochul endorsing Zoran Mamdani. And to me, I mean, this was obviously expected. I mean, here you have Kathy Hochul, who's getting primaried by her lieutenant governor. Kathy Hochul, who, you know, I mean, it was a very close race with Lee Zeldin, closer than anyone thought. She hasn't really done anything in the last 4 years that would make you think this election's any different than the one against Lee Zeldin. But Zoran Mamdani, again, we have the media out there taking Charlie Kirk statements, some taking statements out of context. They're plastering that all over CNN, MSNBC. How about you put the Mamdani comments up? And let me tell you, they weren't taken out of context. I mean, Zoran Mamdani, this guy is the extreme of the extreme. And now Kathy Hochul is aligning herself with the extreme left. That's what this endorsement is doing. I mean, she endorsed him before Schumer or Jeffries. Today, Tom Suozzi says that he will not endorse Zoran Mamdani. This was 24 hours ago. Tom Suozzi says, I will not be endorsing Mamdani. While I share his concern about issues of affordability, I fundamentally disagree with his proposed solutions. Like the voters I represent, I believe socialism has consistently failed to deliver real, sustainable progress. People have asked me about the governor's decision. I have not discussed this with the governor, and I am not in a position to give the governor political advice, considering the fact that when I ran against her, she beat me soundly. So Tom Suozzi says, with what he stands for, he cannot run, or he cannot endorse Mamdani. Again, Kathy Hochul, it's whatever way the wind blows, right? She's running for Congress in NY27. She is a conservative Democrat. Now she's the governor of New York. She needs to appeal to New York City. She is aligning herself with the far end of the Democratic Party. And, you know, we had a caller last week call out Trump for calling Donnie communist. But again, if you look at some of the things that Mamdani's running on, they do align with socialism. They do align with more communist, right? Again, this is a guy who doesn't believe that there shouldn't be any billionaires. He wants to tax certain neighborhoods in New York City. He wants to heighten their tax. Again, he doesn't want, it sounds, the what he's running, he doesn't want rich people, he doesn't want poor people. He allegedly doesn't believe in capitalism. Now, again, he said in 2025 on Meet the Press that he's not a communist. However, if you look at his policy proposals, he wants government-run grocery stores. He wants controlling aspects of the economy. I mean, those are more aligned socialist-communist than the norm. But again, you don't have CNN, you don't have MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS. No one's calling him out for that. This isn't normal. We hear this all the time about President Trump, right? This isn't normal. I thought Fetterman said it perfectly in his interview yesterday. He said, yeah, but that's what America voted for. But Mamdani, again, if that's what New York City votes for, I cannot believe that Eric Adams has not dropped out of the race yet. Again, nothing against Mayor Adams, but if you care about the city of New York and you tell your voters to go vote for Cuomo, you could actually defeat Mamdani. But the way it is now, you've got two stubborn Democrats trying to get the moderate Democrat vote. You've got Curtis Sliwa, who Trump doesn't even like. And you've got Mamdani. I mean, Mamdani could be the next mayor of New York City with 40% of the vote. But, I mean, he is further to the left than what we have seen as mayor of New York. And that includes Bill de Blasio. I mean, he is more left than, are you telling me I get French fries with this, Bill de Blasio? Speaking of the mayor's race, when we come back, we'll be talking with the Republican candidate for mayor of Buffalo, James Gardner. Lots to discuss with James, lots to get to. And unlike Sean Ryan, James Gardner is out there. He has an active social media account. He's actually doing radio interviews, not just telling the Buffalo News that he's doing radio interviews. He's got himself in front of every camera that's out there. He is running one heck of a campaign. And we'll talk to him about how the campaign's going. We'll also talk to him about crime and other issues. You know, there'll be a downtown question. It's a Joe Beamer interview. Of course, there's going to be a downtown question. And that will be all after this break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
News Radio 930 AM WBEN.
Whitesnake?
Yes.
That's right. This week we're going through Monster Ballads. That is the album that we're using our bumps from. 1999, two-disc compilation. It's a big one. It's a good one. This was up there. When you think back to those commercials in the 90s for CD compilations, this one is up there. 10 are finding the best on the album. We are focused on the city of Buffalo this segment, and joining us is the Republican candidate for mayor, James Gardner. James, welcome back to the show.
Always glad to be here, Joe.
James, you know, a lot's going on, and it's funny. It's something that you've recently posted on social media. Not only you running for mayor, I saw a business over the weekend post about a break-in and say it was the third time this year that they had been that they experienced a break-in. They still were going to open in time for the Bills game. Now, that's a downtown business, as we have businesses leaving downtown. James, how do we right this ship?
You know, it mirrors what I have been saying since I got into this race. It mirrors what I have heard from every business owner in the city of Buffalo and really every resident in the city of Buffalo. The biggest issue at top of everyone's mind is public safety. It is this idea that crime is absolutely the number one issue. You're seeing an increase in crime. I know locally in residential burglaries. I know the Buffalo police just made an arrest. Hopefully they got one of the people responsible for this, but there were more than 20 reported burglaries in the B and D districts of the city of Buffalo in the two-day period. And at the same time, you have Democratic politicians coming out and saying, oh, the statistics show the crime's down, things are getting better, violent crime is down. Well, the average resident and the average business owner in the city of Buffalo doesn't make a distinction between violent crime or nonviolent crime. Crime is crime. And everybody in the city of Buffalo realizes that it is the number one issue. And I'm the only candidate out there who's talking about it in a meaningful way.
Yeah, you know, I think when you hear the Kathy Hochuls of the world or the local leaders, you know, cite numbers, again, something that you think they would have learned in the 24 presidential election, it's people's lived experiences. And if you live in the city of Buffalo, if you own a business in the city of Buffalo, you're not experiencing those numbers.
That's 100% right. You can't go to a single neighborhood in the city of Buffalo, and I would argue probably the majority of Erie County, and not run into somebody who knows somebody whose car's been stolen out of their driveway, who's had something, or someone's rifled through their car as it sat in their driveway. And that's not even counting the people who own businesses who watch just people come in with a shopping bag and just clear out entire shelves and walk out knowing that absolutely there's going to be no accountability for them. There's going to be no punishment. They're going to be, even if they get picked up, they're getting an appearance ticket and they're right back out the door again. And people have, you can feel it when you talk to business owners, when you talk to residents, the rising level of frustration. And what I'm very careful to explain is because a lot of people feel frustration with the Buffalo Police Department. This isn't about the Buffalo Police Department not doing their jobs. This is about the Buffalo Police Department not being able to do their jobs, not being able to make the arrests to hold people. It's about the judges not being able to hold people when they used to be able to on bail so that they go to the holding center. These are the real issues. It's not that they're not doing their jobs. It's that the state laws have made it impossible to do the job the way it needs to be done. And what drives people nuts, what drives me nuts, is that the same people who voted in support of this legislation now think they deserve a promotion. And what I have learned over the past weeks and months is that the vast majority of residents and business owners understand that, and they're not going to support it. They're not going to vote for that person. They're not going to vote for people who are on the wrong side of this issue, because it is the issue facing voters this November.
You did a video outside of a grocery store where they experienced another break-in. Did they mention how much money they lose on these break-ins?
It was over at the Poly supermarket on Walden and Bailey. And when I talked to the general manager over there, I didn't ask him what the dollar figure was. But what he told me is it's not about the money. It's not about the money, even though they've incurred and suffered multiple break-ins at their location. Sometimes they hit the money in the register. Other times it's they're stealing product off the stores, off the shelves. But to them, it's the lack of confidence that they now have. And these are people who are investors in the city of Buffalo. These are people who are looking to increase their investment in the city of Buffalo. And now they're being given pause, because this has happened to them multiple times. Nothing seems to change. They don't hear from any city officials. They see the Buffalo Police Department, and they're very thankful that the Buffalo Police Department comes and they do their, you know, they gather their evidence and everything like that. But they don't hear anything from anybody in City Hall who reaches out to them to say, hey, what can we do to improve your security situation? What can we do? Is there anything that the city can do to address some of your concerns? And my fear is, as these crimes continue to happen, you're going to see business owners, investors, starting to pull back from the city and do what they usually do. Instead of opening a new store in Buffalo, let's open it up in Amherst, because we know we're not going to have the same kind of problems with security and with crime in Amherst, or in Depew, or in Hamburg, or any of the surrounding suburbs. And that, and the city of Buffalo cannot afford to lose any more businesses. We can't afford it in terms of our tax base and the city residents, who are already suffering a shortage of options in a whole host of areas, deserve to have these businesses there. So it's imperative that that City Hall and that city government support these businesses and let them know that they're going to do whatever is necessary to make sure their investments are safe.
You know, you have so many elected officials at the county and at the city level who will go out, they'll do these big press conferences on, you know, the city, you know, the east side needs another grocery store. We need more business downtown. We need to bring people more downtown. And without addressing exactly what you're talking about, James, I mean, it just seems like empty words. I mean, you're talking about the businesses you're seeing. We had Buffalo Brewing on this show just a month or so ago talking about having to completely replace their chiller because it was vandalized and stolen. I mean, again, it's not very attractive. You said it, for businesses to go into the city of Buffalo at a time where the city of Buffalo needs business. I mean, they need to make up for the 25,000 people that aren't going downtown weekly.
That's right. I mean, it is exactly that. If you do not have public safety, you have nothing. Not only will you lose businesses, you will lose residents. If people don't feel safe in their neighborhoods, safe in their homes, they don't feel safe sending their kids to school, they'll pick up and move. People vote with their feet all the time. And frankly, that is the history of the city of Buffalo over the past 60 years, is people voting with their feet, picking up, and either if they're not moving out of the city to the suburbs, they're picking up and they're moving out of the state of New York. And until we fundamentally change not only who we vote for, but the policies that we support, nothing is going to change. And we're at a critical juncture for the city itself. We're staring into the abyss here in terms of the budget, and we can least afford people picking up and moving. Any kind of diminution in our tax base, whether it's on the residential side or the commercial side, will have tremendous consequences for the city in the short term and the long term. And nobody on the opposite side of the aisle seems to care about it because it doesn't fit the narrative.
Now, James, we've talked about three times in the last month, and Sean Ryan has not posted on social media in the last month. You mentioned the budget. Now, Sean Ryan mentioned the budget during the primary, hasn't said anything since the primary. When you look at that deficit in Buffalo, because that's another big thing that people are looking to have solved, when you look at that $70 million deficit that the city of Buffalo is facing, James, how do you address it?
Joe, it is a huge, huge undertaking. It goes, I mean, first of all, we're estimating that that could be the budget deficit, you know, as whenever I get sworn in January 1st. The budget deficits are only going to grow unless there is a tremendous change in the way that the city of Buffalo does business. I mean, you're looking at in the past 2 years, a 16% increase in personnel costs through the city of Buffalo. You know, that's at a time when our finances could not be shakier. The cost of our employees, whether it's in salary and benefits, has increased 20%. It is 16% rather. It's absolutely inexcusable. It's completely irresponsible. There needs to be a full undertaking in terms of right-sizing City Hall. I mean, we have to get back to doing the absolute essentials that people expect from city government, and that's, you know, your fire, the emergency services, fire, police, and your streets and sanitation, plowing, garbage. We have to do those things. We have to do them better than they are being done now, because ultimately, people deserve, whether they, even though there's a budget deficit right now, and even though the city's under fiscal strain, that is no excuse to shirk on the essential requirements of city government. So we have to do those things, but we have to really sit down and look at our wants and needs, and we have to focus on the needs. And if it's a want, in terms of what the city's priorities have been over the past 20, 40, 60 years, we're going to have to eliminate those, because these are real, real, real problems that I'm going to face when I come into office. And what I've been very upfront with the people that I've spoken to over on the campaign trail, we're going to have to do more with less. There's no doubt about it. In terms of the size of city government, but we're going to have to get very, very creative about developing new income streams. This isn't a situation where you're going to, one, be able to tax your way out of it. You cannot raise taxes enough to close this budget deficit. And even if you could, that is the absolute wrong message to send. What we need to do as a city is grow out of it. I hear all over that we're having an affordability crisis. The rents are going through the roof. There's nowhere to buy a house under $450,000. And then you go into parts of our city and you see urban prairie. You see vast open vacant lots sitting there primed for development, primed to be returned to the voter rolls or to the tax rolls. And it's that kind of forward thinking in terms of developing residential housing, not just affordable housing. You got to get into market rate housing also. And you have to build our housing stock because that's the only way we're going to ultimately solve this problem. Otherwise, it's just plugging holes here, plugging holes there, and more holes are going to spring unless you start growing our tax base, which means building new homes, attracting new businesses, and being an attractive place for that investment, which means, as we said earlier, focusing on public safety, making sure people feel safe in the city of Buffalo and realizing what a fantastic place it is to live and do business.
James, I had a laugh yesterday in the Buffalo News. There was an article about the campaigns ramping up as November gets closer. And Sean Ryan says that he hasn't stopped since the primary. He's done radio shows, TV interviews, community events, parades, churches. James, I haven't seen this guy since the primary. What did you think about that comment?
You know what? As I say, I hope whatever Sean's doing, I hope he continues doing it. I hope he is... Or, you know, whatever churches he's going to or whatever parades he's marching in or whatever interviews he's doing, I hope he continues to do it because no one's seen them. No one's heard from him. And you know, this race, you know, I get asked this question all the time. It's the voter ID enrollment, the party enrollment disadvantage. And I can tell you, no matter what part of the city you go to, this is not, people understand, this isn't a Republican or a Democrat contest or Democrat conservative or working. This is an issue-based election. This, you cannot get more local than this. The people who walk out their front door and look at their neighborhoods and say, you know what, this neighborhood hasn't changed in 30 years. It hasn't changed since I've lived here, or it hasn't changed since I've been born. Those are the people who have finally come up and said, you know what, we realize that we've got to do something differently. And that's what has given me real momentum and real optimism for November, because residents get it. Business owners get it. It's just that in the past, they haven't been given an opportunity. They haven't been given a choice. It's been one bad choice or worse choice. What I aim to do this November is give them a clear-eyed vision for not only how we're going to get out of our current fiscal problems, but what the city could actually look like and how it could actually function. Because frankly, as somebody who's lived in the city for 40 years, it's never worked well. Everyone just sort of shrugs and say, yeah, that's the way the city does business. We shouldn't tolerate it anymore. We shouldn't tolerate garbage up and down our streets and in our gutters. And we've just grown accustomed to it. Then when you go as a resident, you go to a different city and you go down to their downtown area and you go to their residential neighborhoods, it doesn't look anything like ours. And that's because they've had a contest of ideas. They've had people pushing different policies, and voters have been giving real opportunities at the ballot box. And that's something I could not be any prouder to provide them this November here in Buffalo. And I know we are absolutely going to surprise everybody with the results.
Well, James, as I always say, anytime there's something going on in Buffalo, I see you on the local news. You're posting on social media. You're on this very network. And like I said, have not heard from Sean Ryan since primary night. So keep up the campaigning, James, and we'll talk soon. All right.
All right, Joe. Thanks as always.
Thank you. That is Republican candidate James Gardner for City of Buffalo. Again, say what you want. If you read that Buffalo News article, they talk about, you know, party affiliation. I think James is right. This is a local election. And again, we'll see what happens. Obviously, we'll have coverage here on WBEN. But I do think people appreciate seeing candidates out, seeing candidates go door to door. And like I said, if I lived in the city of Buffalo and Sean Ryan pretty much doesn't seem to be running a campaign right now, I would take that as a slap in the face. Like, you know, he didn't. Sean Ryan has not, you know, the last time something happened in Buffalo, he issued a press release. I mean, he's talking to the Buffalo News, but that's seemingly where all Democrats go to talk. So I think James Gardner, hey, he's running one heck of a campaign, and we'll keep having him on. We'll keep having Michael Gaynor on, and we will continue to invite Sean Ryan. We will be as annoying as possible, but we will continue to invite Sean Ryan on. And again, like David said, if you want to, we hear all this talk about uniting. I have tried my hardest to get every Democrat on this show to voice our disagreements, to have a discussion, and repeatedly, if it's Sean Ryan, if it's Mark Poloncarz, I get shot down. Again, Mitch Nowakowski, Brian Nowak, those guys always come on, and I appreciate him for it. Rashid Wyatt always comes on, and I appreciate them for it, because we're having the discussions that America needs to be having. So again, James Gardner, always appreciate talking to him, and always appreciate seeing the great work he's doing on the campaign trail. When we come back, we got a press conference in Utah. We'll take you there live on WBEN. Hey, welcome back. We are awaiting press conference out of Utah to give an update on the charges against the Charlie Kirk assassin. Obviously, when they start talking, we will bring it to you live here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I got to tell you, it's funny how the COVID-19 vaccine has just become a political message, kind of like the face mask, right? Like you see someone walking down the street wearing a face mask, you just assume, oh, that person probably blames Trump for everything, right? Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be a doctor. But I know people who get the COVID-19, every booster there to get another dose of the vaccine. They've had COVID more times than anyone I know. It's like the people who've, again, I'm not a doctor. This isn't scientific evidence. It just seems the people who keep getting COVID booster shots, I don't know. Here's when I start losing faith in something. When I'm promised that if I take this experimental drug, I'll never get COVID again. And then I'm told, well, you can't pass it on. And then I'm told, well, you just won't get as sick. Which one is it? That's, again, I mean, it's kind of sad that you've got the governor of New York. Again, you want to get your COVID shot, that's fine. That's your medical whatever. We'll get to that. Now we've got a press conference here in Utah.
In this case, we appreciate your being here. Jeff will enumerate the charges and detail what the county's findings are up to this point, and then he will take questions. The number of questions may be limited, however. I may cut it off. I may assist him in helping to pick the people who are asking the question. We just ask that you keep the questions to the process of what we're talking about and refrain from asking questions that speculate or get into the political dynamic of the case. For Utah County, this is a murder case. We're trying a murder case. We're trying to keep the questions to that. But I understand that you're under pressure and have a lot of different questions, and we'll try to answer them. We're joined today by our sheriff and our prosecution team and our county commissioners. Jeff is going to be the only one speaking right now, and I'll introduce right now County Attorney Jeff Gray.
You're in a press conference here on News Radio 930 WBEN announcing the charges
against the murder of Charlie Kirk's assassin. Is an American tragedy. Charlie Kirk was murdered while engaging in one of our most sacred and cherished American rights, the bedrock of our democratic republic, the free exchange of ideas in a search for truth, understanding, and a more perfect union. It is also an offense against the state and to the peace and enjoyment of the people of Utah and of all those who visit here. But Charlie Kirk's murder also strikes a more personal and intimate chord. Charlie Kirk was first and foremost a husband and a father to two beautiful young children. He was a son, he was a brother, and a friend. Like all murders, the senseless and needless taking of Charlie Kirk's life has shattered the lives of those he loved and those who loved him. To Charlie's wife, Erica, his two young children, his parents, his family, and his friends, I express my sincere condolences and offer my heartfelt prayers on your behalf. I also want to express my concern for everyone who was at Charlie's Turning Point USA event at the Utah Valley University, and all who have been impacted by this tragedy. As county attorney, I am charged with bringing justice to those who offend our laws. I am charged with bringing justice for those who harm, for those who are harmed. I am charged with bringing justice for Charlie Kirk. I am committed to these aims. I take this responsibility seriously. Today, after reviewing the evidence that law enforcement has collected thus far, I am filing a criminal information charging Tyler James Robinson, age 22, with the following crimes. Count one, aggravated murder, a capital offense, for intentionally or knowingly causing the death of Charlie Kirk under circumstances that created a great risk of death to others. Count two, felony discharge of a firearm causing serious bodily injury, a first-degree felony. The state is further alleging aggravating factors on counts one and two because the defendant is believed to have targeted Charlie Kirk based on Charlie Kirk's political expression and did so knowing that children were present and would witness the homicide. The state is also charging defendant with count three, obstruction of justice, a second degree felony, for moving and concealing the rifle used in the shooting. Count four, obstruction of justice, a second degree felony for disposing the clothing he wore during the shooting. Count five, witness tampering, a third degree felony, for directing his roommate to delete his incriminating texts. Count six, witness tampering, a third degree felony, for directing his roommate to stay silent if police questioned him. And count seven, commission of a violent offense in the presence of a child, a class A misdemeanor, for committing homicide, knowing that children were present and may have seen or heard the murder and did so based on Charlie Kirk's political expression. Also, following the press conference, I am filing a notice of intent to seek the death penalty. I do not take this decision lightly, and it is a decision I have made independently as county attorney, based solely on the available evidence and circumstances and nature of the crime. Because we are seeking the death penalty, the defendant will continue to be held without bail in the Utah County Jail. Turning to the 10-page information, these are the allegations. On September 10th, 2025, at approximately 12:23 p.m., Charlie Kirk was shot and killed while speaking to a large crowd on the campus of Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah. Police found the suspected murder weapon, a bolt-action 30-06 rifle, nearby. Over the next approximately 33 hours, police conducted a manhunt for the shooter until the evening of September 11th, 2025, when Tyler James Robinson surrendered to police at the Washington County Sheriff's Office. DNA consistent with Robinson was found on the rifle's trigger. After shooting Mr. Kirk, Robinson hid discarded the clothing he wore when he fired the rifle and told his roommate to delete incriminating text messages and not talk to police. Children were present at the time of the shooting. The shooting. Turning Point USA, a nonprofit organization founded in 2012 by Charlie Kirk, organized a public outdoor event to be held at noon on September 10th, 2025 at UVU. The event was the first in a series of similar events to be held at college campuses nationwide. Mr. Kirk is a well-known conservative activist, famous for these type of events, where he discusses various political issues and debates with audience members. His events and comments have garnered a significant number of supporters and drawn the ire of many who disagree with his political views. The event at UVU was announced far in advance and garnered significant publicity and interest. Consequently, several hundred people attended. Mr. Kirk was interacting with a crowd before the event officially got underway. Then, at approximately noon, Mr. Kirk seated himself under a portable canopy behind a table and microphone. He began speaking to the crowd and fielding questions from attendees, a format Mr. Kirk commonly used at his events. Mr. Kirk allowed his questioners to approach a microphone positioned directly in front of him. Mr. Kirk's team members were very close to him on his right and left, as well as some behind his canopy and others at various close locations near him. The large crowd surrounded Mr. Kirk on three sides. Temporary metal fencing separated attendees from Mr. Kirk by only a matter of feet. Directly above and behind Mr. Kirk was the UVU Hall of Flags, an indoor walkway spanning several hundred feet with floor-to-ceiling glass windows, which overlooked the plaza where Mr. Kirk was seated. People were in the walkway at the time of the shooting. Approximately 15 minutes into the event, Mr. Kirk was answering a question about mass shootings by transgender individuals when a gunshot rang out. The bullet struck Mr. Kirk in the neck. He slumped to the ground almost immediately. The bullet's trajectory passed closely to several other individuals beside Mr. Kirk, including the questioner who was standing directly in front of Mr. Kirk. Children were visible near Mr. Kirk's stage when he was shot. Mr. Kirk was rushed to a nearby hospital where he was declared deceased. The medical examiner's report is still pending. So, UVU surveillance. So at the moment of the shot, a UVU police officer was watching the crowd from an elevated vantage point. As soon as he heard the shot, he began to scan the area for threats. Believing the shot came from a rifle because of its sound, he looked for potential sniper positions. He noted a roof area approximately 160 yards away from Mr. Kirk as a potential shooting position and rushed there to look for evidence. The suspected shooting position is adjacent to an open, publicly accessible walkway. To access the suspected location, a person must climb over a railing and then drop to the roof only slightly below. The UV officer climbed over the railing and down onto the roof. He then walked to the suspected shooting position and confirmed a clear shooting corridor between the position and Mr. Kirk's seat. He also noticed markings in the gravel rooftop, consistent with a sniper having lain on the roof, impressions in the gravel potentially left by the elbows, knees, and feet of a person in a prone shooting position. Police reviewed surveillance from the camera covering the roof and discovered that it recorded an individual dressed in dark clothing cross the railing from the public walkway and drop onto the roof at approximately 12:15 p.m. Although the individual moved out of the camera's view for a short time, the camera again captured the individual running across the roof and then low crawling to the area the UVU officer recognized as where the suspected sniper had dropped into a prone shooting position. After a short time, which matches the known time of the shot, the individual arose and ran across the roof to the northeast. This discovery led to an intensive review of UVU surveillance recordings to track and identify the suspect. Surveillance revealed the following. At approximately 11:51 a.m., the suspect entered campus from the north. He is seen wearing a black shirt with an American flag in the center, a dark baseball cap, and large sunglasses. Throughout the surveillance, the suspect keeps his head down and rarely raises his head enough to get a clear image of his face. As he proceeds across the campus, he is seen walking with an unusual gait. The suspect walks with very little bending in his right leg, consistent with a rifle being hidden in his pants. This unusual gait continues until the suspect is seen crossing the railway off the open walkway and onto the roof, where he leaves the camera's view. A camera later captures the suspect as he runs across the roof to the suspected shooting position. Immediately after the shot was fired, a camera captures the suspect running across the roof carrying an item whose shape is consistent with a rifle. The suspect is then seen climbing down from the roof. He appears to drop the item he was carrying as he hits the ground in a controlled fall. He then picks up the item and runs toward the northeast end of campus. Expanded crime scene investigation. Law enforcement officers followed the suspect's escape path to the northeast end of campus, where they believe the suspect left campus and entered a wooded area. In that wooded area, investigators found a bolt-action rifle wrapped in a towel. The rifle contained one spent round and three unspent rounds. This is consistent with the facts officers observed at the time of and immediately after the shootings. No shell casings were found on the roof, suggesting a bolt action rather than an auto-loading weapon, and only a single round was fired. Each round in the rifle contained an etched inscription as follows. The fired cartridge was etched, "No Tice's Bulge, O-W-O, what's this?" The second cartridge that was again not spent, the last three were not spent, were not fired. The second, "Hey Fascist, Catch," with arrow symbols. The third cartridge, "Oh, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Chow Chow." The fourth cartridge, "If you read this, you are gay, LMAO. The rifle, ammunition rounds, and towel were sent for forensic processing. DNA consistent with defendant was found on the trigger, other parts of the rifle, the fired cartridge casing, two of the three unfired cartridges, and the towel. Law enforcement was unable to immediately locate the shooter. So they published photos of the shooter from the UVU surveillance cameras and asked for the public's help to identify him. Meanwhile, law enforcement continued to try to identify the shooter through other means. The Washington County investigation. On the evening of September 11th, 2025, as law enforcement continued their investigation, Tyler James Robinson went to the Washington County Sheriff's Office with his parents and a family friend to turn himself in. Robinson's mother stated that the following to police. On September 11th, 2025, the day after the shooting, Robinson's mother saw the photo of the shooter in the news and thought the shooter looked like her son. Robinson's mother called her son and asked him where he was. He said he was at home sick and that he had also been at home homesick on September 10th. Robinson's mother expressed concern to her husband that the suspect shooter looked like Robinson. Robinson's father agreed. Robinson's mother explained that over the last year or so, Robinson had become more political and had started to lean more to the left, becoming more pro-gay and trans rights oriented. She stated that Robinson began to date his roommate, a biological male who was transitioning genders. This resulted in several discussions with family members, but especially between Robinson and his father, who have very different political views. In one conversation before the shooting, Robinson mentioned that Charlie Kirk would be holding an event at UVU, which Robinson said was a stupid venue for the event. Robinson accused Kirk of spreading hate. Robinson's father reported that when his wife showed him the surveillance image of the suspected shooter in the news, he agreed that it looked like their son. He also believed that the rifle that police suspected the shooter used matched a rifle that was given to his son as a gift. As a result, Robinson's father contacted his son and asked him to send a photo of the rifle. Robinson did not respond. However, Robinson's father spoke on the phone with Robinson. Robinson implied that he planned to take his own life. Robinson's parents were able to convince him to meet at their home. As they discussed the situation, Robinson implied that he was the shooter and stated that he couldn't go to jail and just wanted to end it. When asked why he did it, Robinson explained there is too much evil and the guy, referring to Charlie Kirk, spreads too much hate. They talked about Robinson turning himself in and convinced Robinson to speak with a family friend who is a retired deputy sheriff. At Robinson's father's request, family friend met with Robinson and his parents and convinced Robinson to turn himself in. The family friend spoke to police and reported telling Robinson that it would be best if he brought all evidence with him to the sheriff's office to avoid police having to search his parents' home. The friend also asked Robinson if he had any clothes that were related to what he did. Robinson replied that he had disposed of the clothes in different areas. The roommate. Police interviewed Robinson's roommate, a biological male who was involved in a romantic relationship with Robinson. The roommate told police that the roommate received messages from Robinson about the shooting, and he did provide those messages to police. On September 10th, 2025, the roommate received a text message from Robinson which said, "Drop what you're doing. Look under my keyboard." The roommate looked under the keyboard and found a note that stated, quote, "I had the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk, and I'm going to take it." Police found a photograph of this note. The following text exchange then took place. After reading the note, the roommate responded, "What? You're joking, right?" Robinson. I am still okay, my love, but am stuck in Orem for a little while longer yet. Shouldn't be long until I can come home, but I gotta grab my rifle still. To be honest, I had hoped to keep this secret till I died of old age. I am sorry to involve you. Roommate, you weren't the one who did it, right? Robinson, I am. I'm sorry. Roommate, I thought they caught the person. Robinson, no, they grabbed some crazy old dude, then interrogated someone in similar clothing. I had planned to grab my rifle from my drop point shortly after, but most of that side of town got locked down. It's quiet, almost enough to get out, but there's one vehicle lingering. Roommate, why? Robinson, why did I do it? Roommate, yeah. Robinson, I had enough of his hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated out. If I am able to grab my rifle unseen, I will have left no evidence.
Listening to the Utah County District Attorney talking about the charges against the Charlie Kirk assassin. On WBEN.
I haven't seen anything about them finding it. Roommate, how long have you been planning this? Robinson, a bit over a week, I believe. I can get close to it, but there is a squad car parked right by it. I think they already swept that spot, but I don't want to chance it. Robinson again, I'm wishing I had circled back and grabbed it as soon as I got to my vehicle. I'm worried what my old man would do if I didn't bring back Grandpa's rifle. IDEK, if it's had a serial number, but it wouldn't trace to me. I worry about prints. I had to leave it in a bush where I changed outfits. Didn't have the ability or time to bring it with. I might have to abandon it and hope they don't find prints. How the F will I explain losing it to my old man? Only thing I left was the rifle wrapped in a towel. Remember how I was engraving bullets? The effing messages are mostly a big meme. If I see notice bulge UWU on Fox News, I might have a stroke, all right. I'm going to have to leave it. That really effing sucks. Judging from today, I'd say Grandpa's gun does just fine, IDK. I think that was a $2K scope. Wink, wink. Robinson again, delete this exchange. Again, Robinson, my dad wants photos of the rifle. He says Grandpa wants to know who has what. The feds released a photo of the rifle, and it is very unique. He's calling me, RN, not answering. Robinson, since Trump got into office, my dad has been pretty diehard MAGA. Robinson, I'm going to turn myself in willingly. One of my neighbors here is a deputy for the sheriff. Again, you are all I worry about, love. That came from Robinson. Roommate, I'm much more worried about you. Robinson, don't talk to the media, please. Don't take any interviews or make any comments. If any police ask you questions, ask for a lawyer and stay silent. The search for Robinson's residence. Police executed a search warrant on Robinson's residence. During that search, police discovered a shell casing with etchings like the etchings found on the shells in the rifle near UVU. Police also found several target boards with bullet holes in Robinson's home. Now, as I stated in the beginning when I read those allegations, these are allegations. And like the evidence set forth in this statement, those allegations, what you've heard from the media, even from state and federal officials, has not been tested in the crucible of a jury trial. I understand the public's desire to know the facts. My own family members have pressed me for information. Why are we reluctant to share the details of the investigation itself and comment on the case? because I want to ensure a fair and impartial trial. I became a prosecutor because of my love for the ideals of this great country and the principles embedded in our Constitution. The free exchange of ideas and opinions is critical to this great American experiment, but so too are the protections afforded to the accused found in the Fifth and Sixth Amendments. The right against self-incrimination, the right to a speedy and public trial, the right to the effective assistance of counsel, the right to confront one's accusers, and the right to compel the attendance of witnesses. And perhaps most importantly, under our Constitution, the accused is presumed innocent until we, the state, prove to an impartial jury of defendant's peers his guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. That jury cannot rely on our allegations, on what they hear in the news, or on what they hear from a public official. The jury is the sole trier of fact, and they will ultimately determine those facts based on evidence a trial judge has determined is admissible. Again, as prosecutors, we bear the burden to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. But make no mistake, we welcome this burden. I'd like to now introduce my trial team who will be charged with prosecuting the case. This is a veteran and expert team of some of the state's best trial attorneys. Chad Grunander, who is one of my two chief deputies, Ryan McBride and David Sturgill on the far right there. And those two were very much involved in preparing search warrants, did a phenomenal job, worked day and night to see that accomplished well after Robinson was taken into custody.
All right, that was the Attorney General in Utah giving the charges against the Charlie Kirk assassin, and you heard the text message exchange back and forth between him and the roommate. You also heard, what he had said and how it kind of all played out, the evidence they have to use against Tyler Robinson, and they are seeking the death penalty in this case. And I don't think that's a surprise to anybody that they're seeking the death penalty. And again, they found the suspect's DNA on the trigger of the gun. We found that out in this press conference. So a lot of the evidence, obviously not all the evidence that they're going to use, they're going to save some of that for court. But a lot of the preliminary evidence that they have found in this investigation and what led them to the suspect. The suspect's own accounts via text messages and posting on certain sites led them to him, and he is now in jail. Again, we found out that he did turn himself in to Washington County Sheriff's Office. And you heard him also in there talk about how MAGA his father's gotten since Trump was elected. Again, obviously did not share his father's political views. We also found out that the mother of the suspect looked at the FBI photos and said and thought that looked like her son. You heard in the text exchange where the suspect was getting calls from the father talking about the grandfather's rifle, which was then on TV because he had ditched the rifle. So a lot of information in this press conference. The mother also indicating that the son had moved to the left over the last few years. We had heard that. Again, I would say there's moving to the left and then there's being radicalized. Again, this goes back to our conversation about social media. This individual was clearly radicalized, but it does seem you know, that those around him were quite disgusted and upset when they found out what he had done, and that the roommate and the parents are cooperating. We did hear from the governor a day or two ago that the suspect was not cooperating. So again, some new information from the district attorney. Sorry, I said attorney general. I meant the district attorney of Utah County. And also we found out that Robinson had a target board with bullet holes in the room. And yeah, found out a lot about the suspect and a lot about how that day unfolded, how the sign started pointing to him, how people around him started putting this together. So a lot of important information in this investigation. We'll break it down a little more when we come back. It's Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. Again, we just found out. We were just told that the district attorney in Utah County is seeking the death penalty. You heard the charges and you heard some of the initial evidence and how we got to this point. More when we come back. Again, you're listening to News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome back. Final few minutes here on the Joe Beamer Show. The district attorney did go on to say in that press conference, if you're just joining us, the Utah County district attorney announced charges against Charlie Kirk's assassin and did say they are seeking the death penalty. Also said that there is no, they aren't focused on any other suspect at this time. That doesn't mean there aren't any. But currently, Tyler Robinson is the guy, and that's the guy that they're charging. So that was a question that was asked later in that press conference. Obviously going to learn a lot about this investigation as we go on. Those are the state charges. And in Utah, the death penalty is something they use in Utah, and they will be seeking that in a courtroom when this starts. Again, aggravated murder, felony discharge of a firearm causing serious bodily injury, obstruction of justice, 2 counts, witness tampering, 2 counts, commission of a violent offense in the presence of a child. Those are the charges against Tyler Robinson, according to the Utah County District Attorney's Office. And more information on this to come. You know, J.D. Vance said something interesting yesterday in the closing of his time filling in for Charlie Kirk. And I'm going to paraphrase it. But, you know, he pretty much said, you can't find unity with people who want to kill you. And, you know, I daily try to find or try to get the conversation going, right? Again, I think if you want to stand there with Kathy Hochul and talk about, you know, how you're against political violence, but then won't talk to anyone who disagrees with you, I don't, how much weight are we supposed to put in your words, right? I do want to get back to a time where our politics are just our politics, and we can argue about our politics and then go have a beer. And I know for many Americans, that is the life they live. But I do find it difficult to find unity with anyone who, in their head, can justify the murder of someone because that person shared the same beliefs I have. Right? That's a problem. And it's going to be difficult to find. Again, I have said that's not a majority of people. And I don't believe it's a majority of Democrats celebrating Charlie Kirk's celebrating Charlie Kirk's death. And shout out to the 7 Democrats who did show up to the vigil on Capitol Hill yesterday. But when you see thousands of people online celebrating the assassination of somebody, and their way to justify it is, well, that person, had conservative beliefs. Well, I apologize if I can't find unity with someone who thinks conservative beliefs is justification for assassination. And I thought J.D. Vance put it beautifully at the end of Charlie Kirk's show yesterday. Coming up next, Tom Bowerly will be with us. Hey, Tom.
Hello, Joe.
What is on the program this afternoon?
Well, obviously, we're going to continue various angles of the Charlie Kirk assassination. And a couple of things that I want to get into. Number one is, I'll do these at the same time, actually. One of them is the calls that we've had who have said, Charlie Kirk wasn't assassinated because of his politics. He was assassinated because of his faith. And we started off the show yesterday with a guy who was at the memorial, the vigil for Charlie Kirk in North Tonawanda over the weekend, who said that Charlie Kirk's biggest influence on him was spiritual, which I thought was very interesting. And the other thing I want to get into is if you are on any side whatsoever, are you afraid to express your political beliefs in 2025? And obviously there are going to be some vigils for Charlie Kirk held in Western New York over the next few days. And I wonder if there's anybody who really doesn't want to go because they don't, they're concerned about what they might run into.
After some of the things you're seeing, I mean, multiple protesters showing up to some of these vigils, which, you know, is disgusting. But I can see, you know, wanting to avoid that, thinking that might happen at something you go to.
Yeah, and to your point of again trying to have a dialogue with people who disagree with you to the point where they would protest somebody's vigil, I don't understand the point of dialogue with people who would protest something like that.
No, and to something you said about Charlie Kirk's faith, I have to say I have I have been reading Bible passages. I went to church this morning, Tom. I mean, Charlie Kirk, you know, it's really affected me, and it's made me want to get closer to Christ myself.
Well, I'm too stuck in my ways to make that kind of a decision, but as far as other people, I'm kind of curious what their perspective is.
Yeah, I have to say, it's you know, listening to him talk about how Christ saved him, it's really something I've, like I said, I've been reading Bible passages, and again, I'm just as angry as when you broke the news last week, and we'll see what direction this nation goes in, Tom.
I don't like the look ahead.
No, I'm starting to agree with you on that. I am. Tom, looking forward to the show, my friend.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Joe.
That is Tom Bowerly. He's up next after Tom Puckett. I will see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. You have yourself a great afternoon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.